Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Savers and investors will be watching the budget even more carefully this October. That's because the government has promised to introduce a new tax-efficient way to turn a nation of savers into one of many investors. These new schemes don't just turn up, though. They need to be robust, genuinely save on tax, and simple to understand. One company which will doubtless benefit from this new scheme will be Irish Life, but the pensions giant promises to give back 1% of its revenues to charities in the inner cities where they are based. And Teresa Kelly Oros is the head of public policy with Irish Life. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me on.
Let's start with PIAs, these personal investment accounts. What are you kind of hearing? What you guys liaise with government quite a bit. What are you hearing?
So we've heard kind of a range of differing options kind of being bantered about, Joe, is the honest answer. But more recently, we've been hearing more about the need to produce something that is simple, transparent, clear to understand. And from an Irish Life perspective, we've looked at a couple of international models that are out there. And the one that we thought was best for where we as Irish citizens are right now and on our investment journey is similar to what the UK has,
which is the ISA model.
The ISA model.
Individual savings account.
Which is a really simple model. It basically has a cap up to 20,000 sterling, mm-hmm. and you can put your money into that, and any growth that happens within that account, there is no tax applicable.
There's a tax-free wrapper around it.
Pretty much a tax-free wrapper. You don't need to do anything from a customer perspective. It is easy to invest into. You can take money out of it whenever you like.
And not be taxed on capital gains.
So it's very simple, easy to understand. The only thing, having looked at the UK, which we think would benefit here in Ireland, is the UK allowed for cash ISAs, which basically were like having your money on deposit, but actually the roll-up had no dirt. And if the intention of government is to make people more financially resilient, then we don't believe that that is a great option. So we would believe that
just as long as you're buying tax, if you're buying equities or bonds or something like that.
Yeah, and we can create liquidity through market funds. So again, you can create funds that will allow you to take money in and out as if it was a cash. But having a whole cash ISA, which the UK government are now reducing the cap down to.
Well, they're going to tax it now, aren't they?
They are going to tax it. And they put the cash or the cap down to 7,000. So look, we think that that is a mistake that we could
avoid
here and just keep it simple, keep it transparent, keep it easy for everybody to understand.
So again, if they've got £20,000 over there, it would be like, whatever, £25,000 here potentially, and you'd be able to put that in every year. Is that what you...
Every year. Yeah. So again, it's about creating that kind of investment muscle so that for anyone who has a bit of extra cash, rather than leaving it sitting on deposit, which is what a lot of us are doing at the moment, that you would put a little in every year and then that would grow on an annual basis.
Okay. Now, and there was talk about the Swedish model, but they seem to be steering away from that. Is there anything else that you think is possible other than the UK model that is, as you say, tax efficient and simple to understand?
We think the UK model is the Swedish model is great, but the Swedes have been investing for over 50 years. They're in a very different space to where we are.
Yeah.
They have very deep capital markets. Everyone puts some money aside into it. And when we look at what the proposals from the European Commission were in relation to these type of products, they were very clear. Keep it simple, keep it transparent, make it easy to understand, and don't have huge amounts to get in. So the recommendation from Europe was that you should be able to start one of these with 10 euros.
Wow.
And we believe that is where it should be starting, that people just get into that muscle memory. We're not great investors, but I have three sons.
We're great savers.
We're great savers. The younger generations
and your three
are getting
sons
more into it.
They're not going to be saving straight away, are they?
But you know, my eldest is on Revolut and he's putting a tenner in here and a tenner in there. And it just gets him into the understanding of investing.
Yeah.
The understanding of holding onto something. And some of it will go up, some of it might come down. But if you hold onto it for long enough, chances are it'll come back up again.
Is there not a risk, Teresa, that a lot of this money put in for tax efficient purposes will just end up in American companies in the New York Stock Exchange?
Well, look, the European Commission ruling was recommendation in relation to all of this was to say they didn't put any investment restrictions in, but they highly recommended that there also be a tilt towards Europe. And we believe
a bias towards
a
Ireland.
Bias towards Europe, towards Ireland. And we believe that there should be a lot of options in relation to where people can put that money. And if they choose to put it into US equities, that is their choice to be made. But actually, all the research will tell you that generally when people are given a choice, they tend to have a home investment bias and they will tend to put a little bit more money towards Ireland or towards Europe. And actually, if what we want to achieve from a European perspective is correct, mm-hmm. we would hope that people would do that, that would start to put a bit more money towards European entities and Irish entities.
Now, moving on, unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know that Ireland has assumed the presidency of the European Council since last week. And one of the key challenges are simplification, the simplification of work, the removal of red tape. What would you like to see?
Well, look, there was, we all know there was the letter report, there was the Draghi report. We have an issue in Europe, which is A, the amount of regulation and B, the amount of time it tends to get things through the various institutions.
Yeah.
So like there was very clear recommendations which were adopted by the Commission to say they were going to take 25% of regulation out for large companies, 35% for smaller companies. So they've started on that, but actually even the process to get that done, Joe, has taken quite a long time.
Yeah.
And here in Ireland, we haven't adopted any of those metrics. So we are going along.
We'll wait till it's agreed in Brussels, I suspect.
But why would we wait? Like, we have a lot of Irish legislation as well that could be looked at. We have overlapping legislation that we could look at.
Give us an example of something that you'd really like to see simplified and that could be achieved as in relatively low-hanging fruit.
I think, and this is a personal bugbear of mine, I'm not speaking on behalf of Irish Life.
Okay.
A lot of the disclosures that we provide to our customers, they get so much information. They don't read any of it.
Right.
And I think there needs to be a bit of realism to look down and look at everything that somebody is provided to read and understand and then see how much of it actually allows the customer to make a decision.
Yeah.
Like we have to give people our VAT number.
Okay.
That means nothing to a customer.
I'm not sure we need that number.
But yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. I do think there is a real...
Well, that's not a very big thing to ask.
No, yeah. But again, it's some of it stems from Europe, some of it stems from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as a customer, I get piles of information. There's very little I actually pay attention to.
So you're talking about bullet points is what a customer wants.
Bullet points is what a customer wants. We had a renewed customer protection code from the central bank, which made lots of amendments and a lot of it was very good. And then they introduced this concept of informing customers properly, which is the right thing to do. But part of the reason we need that is that customers get so much information. It's very difficult for them to digest. So I think we just need to be careful that the solution to every problem isn't a disclosure. Because people just get lost.
Okay. Anything else that you think we could benefit from by way of simplification?
There's a lot of talk what Europe has done. And one of the first initiatives that they looked at is around some of the sustainability disclosures that are there. And
The
green disclosures. So, you know, the Corporate Sustainability Disclosure Act. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people got very excited that we were watering down green credentials in relation to that.
Mm-hmm.
There was 1,600 data points that were being disclosed there, Joe. The vast majority of which had nothing to do with climate. So they've made great strides in relation to narrowing that down, making it more focused, and then understanding what the purpose of it is. Like, I want to know where my money is going and what it's going to be invested in and what impact it will have. I don't particularly need to know how many hours training an entity has given to its staff.
No, absolutely not. Now, you guys have renovated your HQ in Dublin One. And you've also made a very generous pledge, a 1% pledge of your profits. Tell us more about that.
So this is, we have recently opened our headquarters. It's an amazing new building. We've made the decision to stay in our home in Dublin One. And as part of that, we had a look at our commitments and what we were doing. And we have made a 1% of base earnings pledge.
Mm.
So this means that as we grow and as we do better, so we will give back more into society. And as part of that, we have fundamentally decided that for the first few years, we are going to redirect some of those funds into initiatives within Dublin One
mm-hmm.
to make ourselves better neighbours and to provide assistance where we can.
Yeah.
So we have two really exciting things that we announced on the date of the launch. The first is a 2 million inner city fund that we are doing with Rethink Ireland, which will have 6 to 8 awardees, which will be awarded in the autumn. So don't start calling now.
What is an ARD?
Awardees. So we will go out and we will look for enterprises that are looking to do social enterprise, that are looking for initiatives on well-being, on inclusion, all within the Dublin One community.
Mm.
And we will provide them with funds in relation to help them to scale, to get bigger. And Rethink Ireland, which is a super organisation, will then work with them so that over a 3-year period, they can then go back into the community and maximise what they're doing. We are also doing a 1 million donation with the Abbey Theatre, which is very exciting.
I was there on Friday evening.
Well, there you go. Well, you know what a great place it is, and it's literally next door to where we are. So that 1 million donation will be used for a collaborative partnership between the Abbey Irish Life and Dublin One to, over a 3-year period again, stage a production. So the Abbey will go out, it'll do workshops, mentoring, training with people in the Dublin One community, from everything to play script writing, so to write the play with the community, the staging, the acting, and then all the backstage, and then at the end, produce it out into the Abbey, which we are really excited about.
Okay, and then you're going to spread it out to the other parts of the country, all
absolutely.
The cities.
So we have some nationwide activities that we do already. So the GAA Healthy Clubs, which is in 800 clubs across Ireland. But we will look then to see how we use that 1% pledge and spread it across the country, see where there is activity.
Literally
that we
spread
do.
The wealth.
Spread the wealth. So as we grow, then our activity out into the community also grows.
Thanks very much, Teresa. And enjoy the football. I know you're a big fan of Spain this evening. And this is Teresa Kelly Oroz, the head of public policy with Irish Life.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk
with Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.